face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. Thus far the text. The children of man had done this. Children of man. Sounds insignificant, to say the least, but it's not. Very few things in Scripture are children of man. Not children of God, but children of man. More specifically, children of Adam. And of course they were. For children of Adam, we all are. But God is not talking about genealogy here. He's talking about faith. And these men of Babel seemingly were not men of faith. Perhaps they thought they were, but they weren't. Children of man, children of Adam, children of unbelief and faithlessness, children of sin, children of sinners. It was these type of people who came together in order to build a tower that reached up into the heavens. But no unbeliever truly believes himself to be an unbeliever. They would just say that now, finally, they have it right, when before they had it wrong. Now they've finally figured everything out, and they're on their way to ascending up into the heavens. And it doesn't really matter what name they go by. An unbeliever is an unbeliever. A sinner is a sinner. And a sinner has, some might call it, the innate desire to climb his way to the heavens, wherever that might be. The sinner has a drive deep within himself to ascend into heaven, up to God, with the works of his own hands. Perhaps those aren't the words that the sinner would use. They hardly ever are. But the reality is the exact same. The sinner wishes to make it on his own to the very top of it all. Perhaps that's called heaven. Maybe it's called nirvana. Maybe it's just being the best darn person that they can be. But whatever the case, the power is always found within them. And the name that's going to be inscribed on that magnificent tower that they build is the name of self. And all the while, the sinner is quite sure that they are on the side of God. Or better said, that God is on the side of them. That's why the people of Babel desired to have their name reach up into the heavens. And perhaps that was actually literal. Maybe they really did hope that their tower would scrape the sky and come face to face with God himself. Or maybe they just wanted to make a monument so monumental that not even God could turn away from it. But instead, he would have to just tip his cap and acknowledge that they'd finally made it on their own. But that's the problem, that the sinner doesn't see, that the sinner will never see, that the sinner can never see. Climbing to heaven never works. It will never work. You can't work your way to God, no matter how magnificent the works of your hand actually are. And God knows this. He sees this. Even amongst the people of Babel, he sees this. He looks down upon them and realizes that they are going to be able to accomplish anything that they put their minds to. So he's going to have to stop them. He's going to have to put an end to that. Now, when we read this account, it seems as if God is really acting kind of weirdly, strangely. Maybe he's actually afraid that the children of man are going to be able to build that tower that reach up to heaven. But that's not the truth. God doesn't abide up in the clouds. There's never going to be a tower high enough that's going to be able to break that barrier between the infinite and the finite. God isn't really scared that they might be able to actually accomplish what they set out to do. What he's afraid of is something much, much worse. He realizes that the heart of the sinner, when left to its own devices, will stop at nothing to bring itself to eternal damnation and death. For even as the sinner believes that he's making great strides at climbing that invisible ladder up into heaven, the reality is he's accomplishing nothing more than descending further and further away from the truth and from God. No, God isn't scared of a tower that's going to bring the children of men closer to him, but instead of a tower that will lead them impossibly far away from him. We even see this today. When all around us, all of that man-made religion that our sinful minds have conjured up, all those technological advances that our God-given minds have discovered, all the desires of our wickedly inclined hearts and all that they're tied to, all of these things lead us and lead the world further and further away from the truth while we climb ever further into the heavens. And we see this in the church too, where the sinner within all of us thinks that we are able to spiritually ascend up into heaven and make ourselves one with God. The sinner believes that this is the only way out of this fallen planet of ours, that we must strap on our boots and get to work, get ourselves out of this mess, climb up that ladder, ascend to the heavens, pray better, sing louder, work harder, believe more. If only we are able to accomplish all of these things, then we could finally see the face of God, and he would just finally have to admit that we don't need him any longer. But instead, we've figured out how to do it all by ourselves. That isn't a recipe to ascend into heaven. That's an incantation to descend into hell. And so God comes down, and he scatters the children of men, the people of Babel. He confuses their languages and causes them to give up that noble attempt of building a tower that reaches the heavens. Not because there's a chance that they just might be able to pull it off, but instead because there's the absolute certainty that once that tower is complete, they will have brought themselves so far away from God that they will have absolutely no idea who he is anymore. Let us make a name for ourselves, they say. Let us climb our way to God. But God says no. He'll put an end to all of that unbelieving nonsense. We don't get it. The sinner never does. And this is the problem that we all have. It all boils down to that unbelieving belief that we can somehow climb our way up into heaven. It's what makes sense, and so we go about that business of doing what we think will actually bring us closer to God. But the fact remains true, and it always has been and always will be. None of that ever does bring us closer to God. And so our Lord oftentimes puts up roadblocks. More than often, usually, almost always, he puts up roadblocks right in the middle of our tracks, much like he did for the people of Babel. And at the time, it seems as if all of those roadblocks are unfair punishments laid upon us by some spiteful God who's too self-centered and insecure to let anyone ascend into the heavens with him. But the truth of the matter is, we had it wrong the whole time. You see, the thing about becoming one with God is not that we make our way up into heaven, but that he makes his way down here to earth. Now, there are more generations than I would like to count between the Tower of Babel and the day of Pentecost, but that shouldn't bother us. What seems to be forever for the sinner is but a blink of an eye to God, and he accomplishes all that he desires in his own time, which is always for us and always for good, perfectly for good. For the people of Babel, for the people of today, God saves them just the exact same. And salvation is never couched in the demand that they, that we, make a name for ourselves by building some sort of tower up to Him, but instead that He makes a name for Himself by climbing down on His own tower to us. God comes to us. We never come to Him. And He will do everything in His power to knock down each and every single one of our man-made towers so that we might know this saving truth. In a real and tangible way, this God coming down to us happened at the incarnation. The promise of this is sure, as sure for us as it was for the people of Babel. The only difference is that they were to look forward and we look back. But time means nothing to God, not in the way that it means something to us. And so it didn't matter that the incarnation, God in the person of Jesus, God in the flesh, was still thousands of years in the future for the people of Babel. Any more than it matters that the incarnation, God in the flesh, is thousands of years in the past for us. What matters is that God came down from heaven and became one of us. He made a name for Himself by uniting Himself with us in the flesh. His sinless, our sinful. He came to us, born, alive, dead, buried, risen, and ascended. He came to us. He made Himself one of us. He made Himself one with us in order to save us from our sin of unbelief, even from that sinful desire of climbing our way up into heaven and placing our own name on our own salvation. And at Pentecost, He continued this wonderful saving work of coming to us as He sent His Spirit upon the apostles and then went about His business of building His church so that He could be with us always to the very end of the age. We don't need to build a tower with our own name on it to get to God. He comes to us in baptism, His own name splashed right on us. And we don't need to build a tower to bring ourselves out of this earth so that we might be able to experience all the glories of heaven through our own works. He brings heaven down to us right here as we partake of Him, of that heavenly feast that has no end, bread and wine, body and blood. And we don't need our own words to carry us up into the heavens. He sends His own word down here to us in time and space so that we might be saved through Him and Him alone. Christ the crucified one, who did away with all of our little pitiful towers, every single last one that we could make in the hopes of catching a glimpse of the divinity. Instead, He climbed up on the cross so that we could see the ultimate glory of God in a dead man, dead for you. And here today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we're able to see how our Lord is even greater than we could have ever imagined or dreamt up. For it's on this day, thousands of years ago, in which He did away with the very curse that He put upon the people of Babel as they built their tower up into the heavens. Where different languages had once scattered the people and brought their unbelieving assent to Him to nothing, He now makes nothing of all of those different languages. It no longer matters that you and I speak differently than the people in Japan or Mexico or Germany or wherever. For the word that saves is the word of Christ, spoken however one might speak it. Christ joins and unites all into one faith through the gospel. Even though different languages still remain. And he tears down the wall, not only reconciling us to God through his death, but by speaking to us in a new language of the forgiveness of sins in Christ. And also by bringing about a unity in his name, not our own, so that different flocks are brought together under one shepherd and gathered into one fold, the church, wherever in this world that church might be. Pentecost, like everything else that we celebrate, like everything else that our God accomplishes, is never about building a tower in our own name and ascending it to save ourselves. It's about him coming down in his own name and saving us. In the name of Jesus.